It's no secret that personal debt in America remains a major problem even after the end of the Great Recession. But a new report out today puts some perspective on just how many people are struggling with long-term debt and the consequences it's having.
According to a report from the Urban Institute, more than 35% of Americans have debts and unpaid bills that have been reported to collection agencies, meaning the debt is past due and the account has been closed and placed in collections. What's at the root of that problem? How do we go about addressing it?
Joining us now is Lynette Kalfani-Cox. She's the CEO of AskTheMoneyCoach.com. She's also a former financial news journalist and author of several money management books, including Zero Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Financial Freedom. Lynette, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on the program.
So we have this story today about 77 million Americans have debt that's gone to collections. Does this surprise you?
You know, actually, it doesn't surprise me at all, as sad and pathetic and as traumatic as that might be to hear and as it is for me to say. But I know firsthand from personal experience the sort of widespread nature of debt, how easily it is for Americans to fall in debt. I was in debt myself. I've been very open and honest about sharing my own story. But also, frankly, I've seen many, many studies that sort of hone in on this problem, that we're over-leveraged, that we've just got too much debt. This one, I think, was very pointed in talking about collections and the extent to which people have fallen, you know, very severely behind on their debts because, of course, for many collections accounts, they don't hit that status until they're about 6 months behind their payment due dates. But frankly, again, it's sad to say, no, the numbers didn't surprise me at all.
Well, let's talk about terminology. Collections would be when the person that you owe money to goes to a third party who tries to collect from you. And it gets a little more serious in terms of your credit score, I think.
Well, you know, I've seen some reports about this, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions. So let's kind of clarify for your audience exactly what it means to be in collections. Yes, you can have an account that's past due, let's say a credit card bill, or maybe you even had a newspaper or magazine subscription and you just didn't pay it. It can be turned over to a third party, an outside collection agency. That's the typical, I think, idea that most people have of an account being in collections. But many creditors also have in-house collection agents as well, their own staff that will try to collect a debt. And it doesn't, you know, they won't wait until you're 6 months past due. You can have something ding your credit, as you just alluded to, as early as 30 days when you're past due. So under the law, a creditor can report you to any of the big three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion, when you're just 30 days past due. So it doesn't have to be that the debt is 6 months past due. It doesn't have to have gone to an outside collection agent in order for it to really hamper your credit rating.
Do we know how much debt that these 77 million Americans have in collections?
Yeah, I think that the Urban Institute report talked about the debts that were, you know, somewhere along the lines of 5,200 being the sort of average that the typical adult owes. Now, you know, the numbers are skewed, of course, when you start talking about people who have a mortgage and those who don't have a mortgage. But these were of those who were reported, of those 77 million Americans who were reported to be in collections with one or more debts, those adults owed about just under $5,200. Now, again, this was non-mortgage debt. So, and even then, some debts aren't accounted for. We know the foreclosure crisis that we've been through, where we had, you know, so many tens of millions of Americans who couldn't afford their house notes, and many of them lost their homes as a result of that. But this study in particular looked at things like a medical bill that was past due, utility bills, credit card balances, things of that nature. And frankly, I think that the numbers are probably a little underreported because there are some other things that aren't even tallied. For instance, there's a huge number of very cash-strapped consumers out there who take on personal loans like payday loans, unfortunately very high-cost exorbitant loans, car title loans, et cetera. And then there's also a group of, you know, unbanked consumers, tens of millions of those who have lots of personal debts, again, high-cost debt that's outstanding, and that's not accounted for either.
So again, a lot of people carry debt, but this is debt that people haven't been able to make payments on in time.
Right. And, you know, again, think about it. Sometimes I think when people see studies like this, that they might say, well, you know, some of this was from, you know, a library bill. It could have been even something that was past due or an overdue account that was $100 balance. The thing to remember about someone who's financially distressed is that every debt adds exponentially to their financial woes. So it's all relative in the sense that you might have someone who's making, say, you know, $35,000 or $40,000, but if that person has, you know, $8,000 in credit card bills, you know, a $2,500 medical bill they're dealing with, utility bills that are past due, and other accounts that are either in collections or sort of on the verge of going into collections because they're so far past due, each one of those is an additional stressor. And so it becomes the point where people are trying to prioritize, like, okay, well, what do I pay first? Or can I even pay? Do I have enough cash flow to be able to at least make the minimums or to keep the basics that I need, keep the lights on, keep my car so it doesn't get repossessed, keep the roof over my head, that kind of thing.
So for these 1 in 3 Americans who do have debt that's gone to collections, what is the impact there? What happens?
The impact on your credit rating can be horrendous. So I'm always talking to people about the financial and the non-financial impact of having excessive debt. In many ways, I think it's actually easier for people to grasp some of the financial consequences. Okay, you might have late payments on your credit report. That means that when you're ready or once you try to get a loan later, a mortgage, a car loan, a student loan, a credit card, then you're going to pay higher interest rates for those forms of credit, and you certainly won't get the best rates and loan terms that are available in the marketplace. Another financial consequence of having excessive debt that winds up marring your credit rating is that it can impact your job. According to SHRM, the Society for Human Resources Management, almost 60% of employers do some form of credit-based employment screening. So they're checking the credit reports of either some or all of new candidates who are, you know, hoping to be hired. Bad credit can also impact people who are trying to get better auto insurance rates. So, you know, that's another financial impact. So, again, we can put some of that in financial terms and think about the numbers there. But really, again, having lived through debt, I can assure your audience that some of the most heinous and really the most insidious part of living with debt is the personal toll that it takes on you and the ramifications throughout your life. So that, you know, the person who is right now indebted with, you know, excessive student loan debt will find it hard to find a mate. I've written recently about how college debt, for example, is sort of the anti-dowry now, that people just don't want to date or get married to someone who has a lot of debt. But even if you're already married or even if you're single, it really doesn't matter. The excessive debt is going to be a personal stressor. It's going to give you headaches, sleepless nights, give you that worrying, you know, feeling in the pit of your stomach, almost like you're getting an ulcer. People with debt tend to have higher absentee rates on the job and more tardiness, more distractions, and accident prone at work, more arguments with their spouses about financial matters and other things. So the ramifications that are so widespread for your career, for your personal life, for your, you know, your marriage, those I don't even think we can put a dollar figure on.
Oh, that's interesting. So if you have some of this debt that goes to collections, you weren't able to avoid the debt in the first place for whatever reason, is it possible for someone to approach the agency and have that stricken from the record?
It is possible to negotiate with your creditors, either if the debt is still owned by the creditor that you originally owed, or even to negotiate with a third-party collection agent. You have to be careful about how you do it. And you have to know what some of your rights are, because frankly, there's a lot of debt collectors who violate the law, and in particular, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. So there is something, first of all, called in the industry sort of lingo is called a PFD, or a pay for deletion. And essentially, it means that you might approach a creditor and say, listen, I know I was behind on this bill. You know, maybe I was 6 months behind. You explain the situation. Maybe you had a job loss. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe there were high medical bills in the family, whatever the situation was. But if you've rebounded to a certain extent, or if you've kind of fixed the financial problem, you might approach that creditor with a lump sum payment or with a payment plan. And what I would do is to request something in writing saying, if I pay X amount of dollars, will you agree to delete from my credit reports all negative information pertaining to this debt? And if you can get a creditor to say yes, then you write that up. You know, I would fax it over to them or mail it, certified mail, get a signature of agreement, and then make the payment. Some people negotiate up front, and a debt collector will say, oh, yeah, we'll delete that from your credit reports, and then the deletion never happens.
Gotcha. Make sure to get it in writing, certified letter, and the whole deal. We're talking right now with Lynette Kalfani-Cox about debt and debt and collections in the United States, and you can join us at 800-642-1234.
Are you one of the tens of millions of Americans who has some sort of debt in the collection process? Are you trying to tackle it, or is it just not possible? And how has debt hurt you in other parts of your life? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with financial expert Lynette Kalfani-Cox about a new report out today that looks at the amount of debt Americans have in collections.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have debt collectors coming after you? How does it affect your life, financially and otherwise? How are you trying to pull yourself out? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we've got a lot of folks waiting to talk with Lynette, so we're going to go right to the callers and take Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you doing this afternoon?
Just fine, thanks.
So my thing is this. So my ex-wife's house, her mortgage was bought out by another mortgage company. And when they purchased a countrywide mortgage and was bought out by Bank of America, somehow the house ended up back in my name.
Hmm.
And so I was applying for home loans for myself, and they said, no, we can't give you a home loan because you already owe $70,000 on your previous house. And I said, well, I haven't owned that in 10 years. But so the long story short is it's taken me about 8 months or so to get my credit cleared up. It's been an incredible chore. In fact, I even, for one of the credit bureaus, I had to purchase a copy of my credit report from them in order to be able to argue the fact that their credit report was wrong. And that took months in itself. So as much as a lot of people have debt, even if the debt isn't yours, and trying to get your debt cleared up is such an incredible chore that it's almost unfathomable.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Sounds like a long and winding road there for Mike, who was eventually able to prevail and get the debt cleared from his name. But Lynette, did he approach that the right way?
It sounds like he did. Unfortunately, it was terribly arduous in the process. But, you know, one of the things that I try to tell some, of people that I coach and people who come to my workshops is you have to be super careful about any obligation you have with someone else, certainly someone who's not your spouse, but even someone who is a spouse, because in the event of divorce, even the death of that spouse, many creditors do kooky things, sometimes not always legal, sometimes not always right, but nonetheless, you really can wind up in a kind of thorny situation. In any case like that, what I would suggest to someone is that if you divorce as soon as possible, certainly get an agreement with your ex-spouse to say who should pay what. However, you need to recognize that whatever happens in divorce court has absolutely no bearing on your legal liability for paying a pre-existing obligation. You know, he said that the mortgage somehow wound up back in his name somehow. From the creditor or lender's perspective, if at the time of his marriage they were both on the mortgage, that was pretty much it in their eyes, which is why they probably tried to come after him for the debt. Glad to hear he got to clear it up in any event.
Okay, interesting. Thank you, Mike. And on to Marie in Central Wisconsin. Hi there.
Hi. I do have a question for Lynette, or a couple comments on the program. I was told that my voice isn't coming through very clearly. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, you're just fine.
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I am a single parent. I am in my close to mid-40s, attractive, intelligent, in good shape, work hard, but I will be poor for the rest of my life. And my one comment was on the comment of marriage or finding a spouse, I will never be able to find a spouse of the quality I'm looking for due to my debt status. And I blame in large part the court system, which perpetuates a true racket with court-ordered services that keep a woman in particular the most poor. So while the spouse who might have been the larger earner before, or in this case non-marital other parents, they are the larger wage earners, being men. I was already put in a lower economic status just being on my own raising my child. And then when you start dealing in particular with the court system or any past that you may have had or trying to meet your child's needs with medical, education, putting food on the table, we live very simply. There is no way to get out from underneath what I have been put into, which is a true living nightmare. I will be working until I'm falling over dead someday, and I will still not have addressed all of my debt. I'm going back to court again very soon, and I will be enlisted with more court-ordered services. I really would like that addressed for single women, especially in Wisconsin today, because I know this is a huge problem. We can never crawl out from under it. It is very different from what men experience.
Let me jump in there quickly. Are you referring specifically to, like, child support that was not...
Well, I think that's probably always a struggle for people, getting the support that was ordered. But no, I'm talking about things like the counselors that are ordered, the co-parenting people that are ordered, the mediation that is ordered, and all of these extra services of which you pay all or part of the cost. And
right.
If you don't pay it, you're going to be reported. And I do have a huge amount of debt just related even to that aspect. You might have a guardian ad litem who will put you in the hole for years with, you know, that person's services.
All right. Thank you, Marie. Appreciate your calling and sharing your story with us. And Lynette, not having all the particulars, what sort of general advice could you give?
Well, I can kind of weigh in on that because I previously went through a divorce. I was married for 13 years. I divorced in 2005-ish or maybe 2006. I remarried, thank God, and happily remarried. But I was in the rare breed of women who actually pay child support. I paid to my ex-spouse. And by happenstance, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but August is actually Child Support Awareness Month. And I'm keenly aware of both as a payer, because I used to pay child support, spousal maintenance, et cetera. When I was a child, my parents divorced, and my dad did not pay child support as he was ordered to do. So I've been on both sides of this, as a child, being a child in a single parent household where my mother struggled, and then when I was obviously much better off, and I was the primary wage earner in my family when I was previously married, and I had to pay child support. I think she's very right that the court system, when you go through divorce and separation, and there are children involved, et cetera, it's extremely costly. And many women don't get the child support that they need and a whole bunch of other resources. But 15% of all people who are paying child support are women. And the average child support payment in the country right now is only about just over $430 or so. But over a third of them never receive a dime. A third of custodial parents who are supposed to get the support that's legally due them, they don't get it, even if they have that court order. So I think there needs to be a lot done because there's no national guidelines. There's a whole bunch of problems on that. And, you know, the legal matters alone can very much drive you into debt. And things like child support, it's not dischargeable by bankruptcy, even if you're just totally dead broke and deep in debt, as we've been talking about.
And Lynette, in our last 30 seconds here, is there a solution here for people in order to slow down this trend?
I think mainly it's about knowing your rights. Certainly, you should know your rights under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act that I mentioned earlier. In a nutshell, if someone is a debt collector and contacts you, you have the right to ask them to, A, verify or validate the debt,
it's a certain section of the FDCPA that gives you this right. So ask them for proof, you know, first proof that the company actually owns the debt or has been assigned the debt. Ask for a copy of that original signed agreement or credit application, and then ask for your complete payment history, the records, starting with the original creditor. Bottom line, if a debt collector does not give you that information, they're not allowed to report you to the credit bureaus. They can't threaten you with, you know, that they'll seize your property or try to arrest you or, you know, make
and
all these
And I'm sorry, we have
so
to leave it there.
The right.
Thank you so much, Lynette. We're out of time, but I appreciate you joining us so much. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Lynette Kalfani-Cox is a CEO of AskTheMoneyCoach.com.